What's going on, guys? James Camacho here. This is Kicking It With Camacho. How you doing, guys? Happy last week of March. Man, where has the time go? Where'd the time go? It be flying off. You remember those like old school movies? This is like movies from like the 80s, 70s, when like they would try to simulate like time passing by. And they had like the paper calendar with like the singular dates for each paper. And then like the paper, like each day would just fly away, right? You would just see all the papers just of the different days flying off, you know, and that simulated speeding up of time, you know. Then it became the clock. Then it was like the clock would go woo, 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 woo. And now what do people do? How do they simulate time going by fast now? You know? I don't know. But you don't see paper calendars anymore. You know, there are a lot of comedians, actually not just comedians, but a lot of people still that use like the paper calendars, you know. They write their little like stuff in and stuff, their dates, their appointments, their you know, their colonoscopy session, you know. And it's like, I don't know. When are you going to get with the times, man? You know, because you know how that paper, that paper's going to be there for like the whole, that's like a year long thing. You know, you're not dropping any coffee on it. You know, you're not picking any boogers on it. Right. Don't you bang over your desk, right? You get jizz stains on it. It's like, I don't know. Seems antiquated, bro. Get that paper. How many trees are you killing? I thought we were past that. Are you not? I'm going to make a huge accusation now. You still got a paper calendar? You freaking hate the environment. All right. I don't know. Hope you guys are doing well. I have a little update on my goals. Obviously, you know, I have my watch hour goals we're trying to get to. And we have my bench press goals. But I also have a new goal I want to throw into the pot. My little witch pot, you know. I put my, you know, the eyebrows. I put the, you know, the squirrel feet. There's nothing I want to throw in there, my concoction. I'm trying to curse less on the podcast. Let me repeat that. I am trying to curse less on the and just my life in general. You know, I kind of got a sailor mouth. And listen, I can give excuses. I grew up in New Jersey. I grew up with a parent that cursed a lot. I just grew up, you know, I'm insecure. I like to say, you know, F word, S word, what other FS, you know, all C words and stuff, you know, just to sound intense. I don't know what it is, but I'm starting to realize that, especially with social media, like YouTube and Instagram, TikTok, Grindr, it's just that, you know, if you curse on these things, I think there's like, you know, we've talked about this before. Censorship be crazy, you know? Censorship be crazy these days. So it will be helpful if I can curse less. You know, maybe I could expand the reach of the podcast because it won't be censored. And also I'll have a better vernacular and better colloquialism. So, you know, start cursing less. Maybe I'll be able to sound like an aristocrat in a couple of days, you know? I don't think anyone really likes me cursing too much anyways. You know, that's something I realized because, like I said, I grew up in Jersey. I grew up with a bunch of knuckleheads. We curse all the time. But I guess the way I grew up with was a bit, you know, a bit blue collar or a bit blue for most people. So, yeah, trying to cut down the cursing, guys. I'm going to try hard because, you know, now I'm, like, mindfully trying to do it. But, like, I'm sure once I get, like, heated and passionate, you know, things might start flying out, but we gotta bring it down. So currently the watch hours are at 2,767 of 4,000. For those of you tuning in for the first time, maybe I am trying to monetize my YouTube channel that requires 4,000 hours of watch hours. I'm at 2,767 right now. We gain about 100 every week, and you know, not asking a lot, but because you're already watching, that already helps. You know, the main goal. But if you could also like, comment, subscribe, and that all helps grow the podcast, grow the reach. You know, please comment. No one comments, you know. There's not that many viewers to begin with, but it's the same person commenting every... I swear to God, too, I hope no one looks at that and goes, what is that, his mom, or is that his burner account? I have no idea who this one person is. Every time I post anything, they just put a bunch of emojis. There's no words. So I don't know if it's some stalker or just some... I have no idea. It could just be a really big fan. But, yeah. And then my bench press goal. My goal is 225. I am at 205. I did 205 a couple days ago. So we are getting really close. And that 205 felt pretty easy. Not to brag, but I felt pretty comfortable doing it. So I think the next time I bench will be Wednesday. I think I'll be able to put up 210. And then we'll see how the bench press goes later in the week, if I can go up. But usually I try to only go up 5 pounds a week just to be a little bit more realistic and safe. So if we say 210 this week, next week 215, week after would be 220. Hold on, I'm trying to see here. Let me look at the calendar. So this is the 20th week of the 25th. The week of April 1st could be 215. Week of April 8th could be 220. And then the week of the 15th of April, I might be able to hit 225, which kind of is perfect because I'm going to the Bahamas before. I'd like to hit that personal record before then because I'm not sure what the gym situation is going to be like in the Bahamas. I'll be able to find something. You know, it's the Bahamas. But yeah, so April 15th, that week, I might be able to hit my bench press goal, which would be super sweet. So yeah. And some tour dates, guys. Albany, New York had to be rescheduled. There was some like freak snowstorm that happened. So I will let you know when the updated date. Is that the right? Yes, the updated date is for Albany. But this Saturday, March 30th. I keep saying the wrong dates of my tour dates, which makes me really stupid. New York City, Soho Playhouse this Saturday. Get your tickets. Houston next weekend, April 6th, Saturday. Then I'm in the Bahamas from the 22nd to May 5th. Kenosha Comedy Club, which is in Kenosha, Wisconsin, May 17th, 18th. And Bikini, Texas, pretty close to Dallas, Texas, May 31st to June 1st. Guys, come see me live. Get your tickets. James Camacho. .com. And without further ado, let's get into the podcast. So I did a Patreon recently. Also, you know, patreon.com/James Camacho, $5 a month. You get a free, not a free, but you get a bonus episode every Friday in addition to the free episode. patreon.com/James Camacho. Please support me. If you are a fan, would greatly appreciate it. If you don't, I just appreciate your viewership. Thank you so much. Yeah, so I did a Patreon on Friday, and I realized with the Patreon, the Patreon just kind of riff. I just kind of yap and yammer to whatever comes to my mind, and sometimes I land into like really funny, I don't know, topics and stuff. So I wanted to try something on the regular podcast, where I just riff and like we can kind of see how long I can go on for without stopping. Because usually, you know, this podcast, I usually have segments, right? I have like the goals, then I have like the news, the trending news, what I did this week, my shows, recap, questions, which we have questions this week, and then motivational quotes. But I want to see like maybe we can do kind of a segment where I just like unscripted, unprepared, just yap and yap and yap and yap. So I'm going to start. Let's start right now. I'm going to time myself. And then, you know, once I kind of like, you know, don't know where I'm going anymore, I'll just stop. And I will see like if we can, you know, each week we can kind of beat the record, you know. And usually I end up being able to yap for like 20 minutes before I have to get into some like other topic, you know, because listen, I don't have that much to talk about, I guess. But all right, let's take a sip of coffee and we'll do this. Oh my God. All right, we're starting. Let's see how far, I'll see how long we can go with just no, with no topics. So I'm currently sitting here and Bulba, my black cat, is sitting across from me. And dude, Bulba has this kind of thing where like, he sleeps with like an eye open. Not like fully open, but like he's like, his eyes are like kind of open slightly. So you can kind of see the white in his eyes and he kind of, whoa, did the TV go off? What is that? Oh no! Why did the TV go off? Oh my god! I love the, you know, this. I feel like this happens a lot on this podcast where it's like, I'll start recording, ambulance comes. I start trying to do the riff, and then the thing shuts off. Man, this. Oh god, I hate like. All right, is it back? I don't know why it just fell asleep like that. Something's going on my TV, dude. I think there's a ghost in my apartment. You know, because there'll be times the TV will just like unplug itself. You know. Who am I kidding? I don't have a ghost here. It's just the freaking cats. It's the cats probably pulling on the cord, running around, just being animals, you know? So funny. It's like, there's got to be a ghost here. When it's like, I have like, it's like, it's not like I live alone with nothing, you know? I literally have wild animals in my apartment, you know? So yeah. So, yeah, Bulba's been sleeping with it. Bulba's been so, both cats have been so cuddly recently, man. Like literally, like if I just like, if I ever just want to, like, you know, kick, put my feet up, lay on the couch, and sit down, like, literally, like, they just both, like, nestle into my arms, like, and then they just, like this sleep, you know? And then, like, as they're nestled, I'm, like, rubbing their bellies, which the fur feels so soft and so, like, just ASMR-y, you know what I mean? And then, like, they'll purr. And, like, dude, I don't know. Am I not manly because I really... really enjoy it, you know? Like, you see these big alpha male dudes, right? Like, drill sergeants, like, you know, drop and give me 20, right? You call that a push-up, pussy, you know? Like, do you think those guys get like that, you know? Or am I just soft? Am I just a complete, I'm trying to be clean. Is pussy okay? I think pussy's fine. Am I a complete wussy? Am I not manly enough? Because sometimes I feel like that. Sometimes because I go to therapy, you know, I'm so empathetic. I'm all emotional. Like, do I not, like, where are the men these days? It's like, is that too, because I'll be sitting there with the cat. I'm like, how could you not love this, you know? And then I'm like, is this too feminine, you know? Like, if I have a girl over here, right? Ladies, if you're watching, please let me know how you feel about this. If there's a girl here, right, and then my cats nestle in my arms, and I start, like, becoming, like, this, like motherly figure, like, oh, my baby, oh, I love you, you're so cute. Is that a turnoff? You know? I don't know what kind of society we live in, because, like, you hear women, like, oh, they want someone who's sensitive and all that stuff, you know? Self-aware. But then they also, like, want, like, rugged men, too, you know? So, I don't know. But anyway, so, like, yeah, they've been so cute and so loving, and, man... You know, I remember talking about this when I was in my real depressed down stages of my breakup. I remember, dude, like, I'll never forget, like, broken up, just moved into my place, literally had no mattress. I slept on the floor for, like, one night. Like, I had moved all my stuff out of my old apartment, right? From my, you know, ex and I's apartment. Moved it into this new building. And it was like the summer. It was like 100 degrees. I had to fly to LA like 6 a.m. the next morning. So I had to wake up at 3, move all my stuff all day, moving, right? I finally get back here at like 1 a.m. And then like I just have all my stuff cluttered everywhere. No bed yet. So I just sleep on the hard floor. I got this like little fan next to me so I don't melt while I'm sleeping. Wake up 2 hours later from sleeping on the floor. I go to LA. And I'm there for a week doing shows, and the whole time I'm there, I'm just like, I just literally moved into this place. I've been there for like 2 hours, break up, you know, and then I just remember driving in LA from like show to show, and like I just had this moment where I was like, man, just keep going, baby. Just try to get to the next day. Don't just try to, you know, take your mind off it, work hard, and one day, just envision yourself being in that moment in the future where everything is going to be better, right? You're going to get over it. Your apartment's going to be furnished. You're going to be just sitting on your couch. And this is also when, like, I didn't have my cats at the time. I was just going also, not only am I going through a breakup, moving out, but I lost my cats. And I just remember thinking, like, you'll have your own cats, you know? And, like, obviously, like, you know, it's overwhelming to think about, you know, getting there and the time and the healing and the getting the cats and the moving and furnishing the apartment. I just remember, hey, as long as you just every day you keep going, you're going to get to that point. Because right now, even in this moment, right now, there are things you look back, mistakes, right? Stupid relationships, all that stuff. You look back and you laugh. But at the time, it was tough. But you're here now and it's over. So I just kept thinking about that. Like, there's going to be a time where you're in your house, furnished, own cats, over it. And, man, whew. I've been feeling like, thank God. I think we've kind of gotten to that point where, like, I'm on this couch. Look at my cat. Look at my furnished apartment. You know, obviously, it's like I moved on, you know, with my relationship. And it's like, thank God, dude. You know, we finally made it. We finally got there, you know. So for anyone going through tough times, dude, just remember, like, just remember all the tough times you've been through before that are kind of silly to you now, or you can actually talk about and make jokes about, you know, that you got over. And just know this is another one of those times. Just be patient, man. Just be patient. It's really sad. Yeah, it's really sad. All right. We got through 6 minutes, you know. I feel in my head because I got news topics. I feel like I'm boring everybody. I need a live audience here. Actually, that'd be probably worse. If I had a live audience here, no one was laughing at anything I said, I probably would just shrivel under the pressure. But all right, so we got 7 minutes of Riffy. We'll call this segment Riffy James, where I just kind of riff for how long? 7 minutes. That's fine. I gave up, but that's all good. All right, so let's move on here. Let's talk about some trending news topics. We have here Ariana Grande. Now, these might be a little old because the podcast is weekly now, so I'm kind of taking some stuff from the last week. So I believe this is about a few days ago. Damn. So apparently, Ariana Grande got divorced. She was married to Dalton Gomez, who I have no idea who the hell that is, right? Yeah. They're divorced. So they had a prenup, and Grande will make a one-time payment of $1 million. $250,000 to Gomez with no future alimony. She will also give him half of the proceeds of the sale in their Los Angeles home and will pay up to $25,000 towards his attorney fees. Damn. I mean, how bad could you feel if you're Gomez, right? Listen, you're a nobody. I mean, I looked it up. So Dalton Gomez is a real estate broker for like A-list celebrities. So he's not nobody, right? He's not one of these guys that you know, gave up on his career and his dreams and he just got a real estate license. He's moving some big houses, right? He's moving like $1 million houses for A-list celebrities. Apparently there's you know, he knows like Miley Cyrus. There's pictures of him with Miley Cyrus on their on his Instagram page. So he's not nobody. He's definitely not Ariana Grande. He's no celebrity, but he's a successful real estate person. But you know, goddamn, dude, what, like, I know, who am I kidding? Like, I know it's got to be tough to date someone that's like so out of your league. Like, Ariana Grande is a fucking, oh god, I cursed. There we go, I cursed, damn it. But she's an A-list celebrity. I mean, what's her net worth, bro? I can't even, let's, Ariana Grande net worth, I mean, I want to guess. Nine figures for sure. Ariana Grande net worth. Let's see. Yeah, Ariana Grande's net worth is $240 million. Damn! And she looks like she's 14. God damn it, that's amazing. So yeah, they got divorced, and this guy's like, get it. I mean, that'll help the pain a little bit, I feel like, right? You know, you're a nobody. You date a megastar. You have a good run. I think it was 3 years they were together, 4 years together. I think they were together during the pandemic. And you break up. It's tough. But you get almost $1.5 million to go start dating again. I think that would help a little bit, you know? I don't know how much money this Dalton Gomez has. He's probably doing pretty well, but I think he probably just doubled his net worth right there. God, you don't hear this a lot with females having to pay alimony, you know? Like, this, like, it's usually the guys that kind of like, oh my God, I had to, you know, give her like $1 million. And, you know, she doesn't even have a job or XYZ, right? So this is like, this is something we, you know, this is something like the, that's kind of new, I guess. Because, good Lord, like, you think about, like, what's her name? Oh, boy. Oprah, right? Who's she married to? Like, nobody. If they got divorced, that guy would get so much money, you know? Boy, I got to find someone who makes a lot of money. But, yeah, this is, I don't know. It's tough because, like, it's easy to be like, man, $1 million, like, good for that guy. But it's like, I understand, man. Like, I understand heartbreak. He probably really loved her. And damn, it's got to hurt. Does $1 million, though, does that help you with your heartbreak? $1 million, $1,250,000. You think that's going to help with a, you know, a breakup, heartbreak pain? I think it will, you know. I went through my breakup. I didn't get nothing. I lost money, dude. Oh. When I went through my breakup, you know, I had to get my own place. I had to get my own cats. I had to, you know, move stuff. I had to, God, man, how well there are things that I have to, I had to, my rent doubled because now I'm paying it by myself. I mean, of all the hole I'm in, I might be down $1 million. This guy got $1 million. Yeah. If my ex and I, you know, we had our breakup and then I was rewarded. I don't know. What would be $1,250,000 to Gomez? Gomez is probably making probably six figures, right? Doing the real estate for the celebrities. Six figures a year, probably high, mid six. You know, probably makes like $200,000 a year, let's say, right? What would that be the equivalent for that? That, like, so what's like four, five times my net worth? Yeah, that'd be like if someone... That'd be like if we broke up and I got like, I don't know, $400,000, $500,000. Yeah, I'd be all right. I think I'd be okay. I really would. Does that mean I didn't love her? I don't know. But no, I think I'd be all right. It would help for sure. You know, who am I kidding? I'm really trying to put myself in the shoes from 8 months ago when I was, you know, just a sad mess. Yeah, I'd be all right. I'd be all right. I definitely would get over, you know. But yeah, this guy Dalton, I don't know anything about him. He's just a real estate guy. Apparently, they did COVID together. They quarantined together, and then once the COVID restrictions were lifted, got back into the real world, and apparently it was hard for him to what do you call it? He couldn't handle her celebrity, her stardom. You know, that kind of sounds like, oh, he couldn't, like, I think just because, like, she's such a big star worldwide, she had to travel all the time, and he was, like, LA-based, and I think the long distance probably really hurt, which, you know, that's something, like, I have not really experienced. I've never been with someone that was, like, really... That gave me, I don't want to say gave me ish, but like more like didn't like that I was doing comedy or on the road a lot, you know? I mean, I haven't really seriously dated a lot, but, you know, my ex was really cool with me traveling and being gone for a while, and, you know, maybe she just wanted me out. But that's tough, man. You know, I would assume, you know, as I'm starting to see new people and stuff, I'm probably going to run into someone that is going to have a problem with that. Because, you know, everyone always says it doesn't matter. Like, oh, you travel a lot. That's so cool. Oh, you do comedy every night. You're so ambitious. But then when you're, like, with them... You know, I was talking to someone yesterday, actually, that was telling me, like, her friend got divorced. And, like, it was, like, the perfect relationship. And then when they got married, like... they completely changed. They got, like, controlling and stuff. And, like, I feel like I've heard that before where, you know, people get married and just become a different person, you know? not to sound weird, but like, I think I've heard that in one of these like serial killer documentaries on Netflix. I hear it a lot where it's like, someone will like, date one of these like criminals and they'll charm them and like, you know, and then once they like get married, like legally binded, they just become like controlling and like abusive. And it's like, that's gotta, that's crazy, man. That's gotta take some type of person to be like, all right, now that we're legally binded and like, it would be like, since it's going to be so much effort, money, and it's going to be so hard for us to get divorced, I'm just going to be a complete dick, you know? But like, obviously with like someone like Ariana Grande, like someone like a celebrity, it's like getting divorced. Like, yeah, is it inconvenient? Like, yeah, $1 million, that's a lot of money. But yo, like I said, her net worth is $240 million, you know? So that's probably why celebrities get married so much. Like every time I go on Wikipedia, because I'm like thinking of some celebrity, like what their life's about, you know, you see that like, you know, married, divorced. It's like always like in the multiple, like 3-4. It's like, people like, you know, normal people, like, getting divorced is actually a risk. I mean, I'm sorry, getting married is actually a risk, you know, to these rich people. They probably do get into situations like marriages and stuff where it's like, well, you know, at the end of the day, I'll just get divorced. Who gives a crap, you know? Yeah. Well, that's too bad. I feel for Gomez, man. You know, it's hard to, I feel for both. I mean, going through a breakup is tough, but especially when it's someone that's like higher caliber than you. Like, he's probably a great guy and there's a reason why she was attracted to him. Like, he's probably, I don't know, really loving, really supporting, good listener, good lover, right? Well endowed, all that stuff. He's got some traits, obviously. Like, money isn't obviously everything. He obviously offered her something that she needed and she wasn't getting elsewhere that she could, you know. So it's just tough, man. Like, it's tough to date someone like that. I can't imagine dating someone like that. I mean, I've dated people that have had pretty impressive backgrounds, and there is definitely like a what if thing in the back of your head. But for me, it's like, I'm starting to become more and more like confident, like, hey, I'm great too, you know, just because you're whatever's daughter or like you work for, you know, that $1 billion company. Like, yeah, does that make you great, like financially and like, I guess, to the world? Sure. But like, I'm also, you know, I got something too, you know. Took me a long time to realize that. But you got to have a really strong sense of self to date high, I don't know, rich men or rich celebrity woman, you know. Especially as a dude, man, you know, because you're not only battling like the archetypes and the stereotypes of like being the man, making the money and doing supporting. Not only, dude, why does it keep sleeping? I'm sorry, guys. My TV keeps kicking off my the podcast background for whatever reason. I don't know why that's happening. Been having issues with the TV, but man, this is probably gonna happen again, which is really upsetting. Maybe if I put the mouse over here or something. Anyways, all right, let's move on. So, sorry to hear that, Dalton, but you're okay. Take me out to dinner sometime. You got the money. All right, let's move on to this. This isn't even news, but Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were spotted in the Bahamas together. I guess I could show you. Let me pull this down so I can show you guys what the hell I'm doing, man, over here. You know what I mean? Yeah, so I don't know how this is news. It's literally just pictures of them making out in their Bahamas vacation. They're there on the water kissing. She's got a drink in her hand, holding hands. They're kind of out of shape, right? For an athlete and a A-list singer. Okay, out of shape is not the right thing. I mean, they're on vacation. Listen, for him, it's the off season. And for her, I mean, look, I'm out of shape. That was strong. I'm sorry. They're not out of shape. Ooh, look at that. Ooh, okay, Taylor. Okay, Taylor. Okay, Taylor. Taylor with the hiney. Taylor with the dunk. Oh, no, she's. Oh, she got a wedgie. Oh, boy. These are. That's a picture to post. Wow, two wedgie photos. Yeah, she's got a nice butt. Yeah, Kelsey's got the hair. He's got this. I'm just judging these millionaires' bodies. Actually, Taylor's probably a billionaire. But anyway, so yeah, it's just you know, it's all this like romantic day, spotted walking across the dock, swimming together, laying together. How is this news? This is not news. This can't be. I hope they didn't use the word news article. Okay. NFL exclusive photos, breaking news. Okay, this is something else. How is this news? Or how could you publish this in a news site? This isn't news. This is like TMZ type of stuff. I mean, stories. Like, this is not even a story. Nothing is happening. There's no conflict here. They are literally on vacation. That's cute. That's a cute photo. Yeah, they're on vacation. How is this news? You know, I looked up the word news. Do you want to know what the definition of the word news is? News definition. Definition of news is newly received or noteworthy information, especially about recent or important events. Okay. Is this noteworthy information that they're on vacation? How does that benefit my life in any way? Is this going to make me want to buy a ticket to the Bahamas? Actually, I'm going to the Bahamas in a little bit. Oh, shit. I just missed them by a little bit. Yeah, this isn't noteworthy. This is an important event. It's not even an event. They're on vacation. So, oh, man, this is not news. I wish there was a different word for this. Gossip, celebrity, whatever. But, yeah, for this to be like on a new, it's literally the New York Post, which is a huge news source. It's just clickbait because, you know, I mean, I clicked on it and I'm, you know, talking about it on the podcast because I know this is something like people are going to be interested in because of these celebrities. Right. But, man, it's really tough. Like, this is like, you know, you wonder these news cycles, these news people, like they really wonder why no one should be surprised that no one trusts the news anymore. You know, when this is the type of content they're putting out. People are trying to find out what's going on with the world, anything that it's important information, and this is the crap that they put out there. So anyways, I just saw that. All right. We have some questions this week. Let's do a Q and Jame. Guys, like I say every week, if you have a question you'd like to ask me on the podcast, please send them to jamescamachocomedy@gmail.com. And you can also comment them or DM them. I don't know how you. Yeah, just email them to me. That's fine. But here we go. Let's get into it. So Norman asked, before writing for comedy, what kind of writing did you do? I feel like Norman asked like what kind of writing or if I did screenwriting. I don't know if that was Norman, but yeah, I did some screenwriting, short stories. Yeah, a lot of short stories and screenwriting. I used to do blog posts too. Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, I guess memoirs is what you would call it. But yeah, short stories. I haven't written any novellas or anything. But yeah, I have a few screenplays I've written. And I used to write a lot of short stories, you know. But the thing was, like, all the stuff had comedy in it, you know. Like, there were jokes in there or just things I thought were very funny. So all my writing throughout my whole life, even before I was just doing stand-up, was all based on comedy, you know. All right. So he also asked, what challenges, if any, have you faced while in your, okay, I don't think he finished the question here. I think he's missing a word. What challenges, if anything, have you faced while in your, and then in your, and then it's just, he has in quotations here, Horrible food, bad hotels, hecklers. Oh, I think he meant the right tour. What challenges, if any, have you faced while on your tour? Horrible food. Listen, food for me, like, I'm not one of those. I don't just eat anything. Like, when I'm very specific about what I put into my body. I have like, you know, I do. I count my calories. I try to hit certain. I try to hit my macros, which for people that don't know what that is. Counting calories and hitting your macros is when you keep track of your food and then you try to consume a certain amount of carbohydrates, fats, and proteins a day. So I, you know, my diet is based around that and just trying to, you know, especially when I'm on the road where I can't control what I eat. I can't cook for myself. I have to go out and find food. It's all based on that. So I never really go, oh, I'm hungry, I'm just gonna go downstairs and just get a sandwich, or oh, I'm whatever, I need to fill, you know, put something in my stomach real quick before the show. Like, I always have I always kind of Google what's around. Sometimes I'll bring like protein shakes with me, like protein powders. I'll make shakes on the road. If I'm performing in a comedy club that has food, I'll kind of like look at the menu and just calculate everything. So what I mean by that is, like, I don't really give a shit if it even tastes bad. Like, I'm not really picky. I'm no foodie. Like, I'm really simple. Like, I like food, whatever. As long as it tastes good and it fills me up, I don't care. I'm not one of these savants, you know. I'm totally fine with, like, Chipotle. I'm totally fine with whatever. Like, eat, like, a nicer Mexican restaurant, right? Like, I'm totally fine with, like, buffet sushi. And I'm totally fine with Koi, which is like a luxury sushi place. Like, obviously, if I go to Koi in one of these places, it does taste better, but then usually the servings are less. It's so much money. And then if I'm like at a buffet, I can shove 687 pieces of sushi down my throat and it's only $30, you know? So I honestly, I would prefer the less quality, if I'm going to be completely honest. But the times food are bad is like, let's say I'm on the road and I try to get a bagel. Obviously, it's going to be terrible because I'm in New York. If I get pizza on the road, it's obviously going to be terrible to me because, you know, I live in New York. But I got to be honest, man, I eat pretty good. Like, when I travel, I usually go to, like, Sky Lounges and Sky Clubs, so I get pretty nice food there. And like I say, like, I don't eat for, like, taste necessarily. I don't eat for quality. I just eat to get my nutrients in. So, yeah, haven't faced any horrible food, bad hotels. Not really. I've kind of gotten lucky. The clubs I've been playing have been pretty nice with me, giving me pretty nice hotels. I used to stay in real shitholes, though, man. Like, I used to stay in places where you're just, like, you know, it's like a crack den. I'd be terrible. It's one of those, I would stay in, like, I guess they're called motels, where it's, like, you're literally, your door is, like, facing the parking lot, right? And, like, it's just, like, there's just crappy hotels where, you know, people are, you know, people have been killed in, you know, like, people are taking prostitutes to. And, like, it would just be terrifying sleeping there because you hear all the commotion outside and then you're just scared someone's going to just kick down your door and, like, eat you alive, you know? So I've stayed in terrible places. But my tour has been, in terms of, like, living conditions have been great. Hecklers happen every show, man. I don't even give a crap. Like, unless someone is, like, so disruptive where, like, they need to be thrown out, I don't care about hecklers. If you heckle me, I'll deal with it. I'm not scared of you. I do a million goddamn shows. I love how, like, people will ask that question. And it's a normal question. It's a good question. But, like, people will be like, how do you deal with hecklers? It's like, bro, like, people don't understand how many shows comedians do. Like, a working comedian or a comedian based in, like, a major market like New York City, like, we perform like 20 shows a week. So 20 times 4 is 80, right? That's a month. Times 12, it's like, not so comedians are doing like 1,000 shows a year, bro. So we deal with all this stuff. But the people that don't know comedy or don't do comedy, they literally think, like, people ask me, when's your next show? I'm like, I have 3 tonight. They're like, oh, really? And these people, they'll still ask me, when's your next show? Like, the next time I see them, it's like, I try to tell them, it's like, dude, every night there's a show. But people, I just think, like, comedians, they like write material. They're at home writing. They got like a legal pad, right? Or the, you know, like the little calendars is just like the legal, you know, ripping the papers out, right? And whenever they feel like every 2 months, they just, I got a show, and they're just writing for that one show, you know? Did you come up with new material for this one? It's like, it's funny that people don't know the hustle and the grind of stand-up, you know? I think that's with anything, though. Like, if you watch, like, sports, right, you see LeBron dunking, you see Patrick Mahomes just, like, God, like, just being, like, so great at the quarterback position, and we just have no idea. I have an idea because I'm a big sports guy. I also know, listen, I'm living my life to try to be great at my craft. So I know that with anything that everyone wants to do or everyone idolizes, there's so much work into it. But I really don't think people understand or comprehend, like with arts and sports or just anything impressive, anything admirable, like just the amount of work people put in, you know? And like, it all seems great when it all comes together for public consumption, but it's like when people see the amount of work, they just like, they would be like shocked, I feel like, you know? Like I said, like people think like a guy like LeBron, it's like, oh man, he's doing these movies, he's a star, you know, you see him in public. It must be so dope to be LeBron. And then if you actually looked into his like everyday daily life, it's just him in the gym for 18 hours. Or then when he's not at the gym, let's say he's in the gym for 13 hours, then he's home, you know, working out in the weight room, then he goes watch his film. You're like, man, LeBron, this, man, you boring as hell, you know? This is your life? That's my life too. People are like, you do comedy, you're on the road, yada, you go all these towns, so cool. I'm like, bro, if you just saw my daily life, you would think this is the lamest crap ever. All I do literally is I wake up 3 a.m. for a 6 a.m. flight. I fly out there. I fall asleep on the flight. I get up with, like, you know, eye boogers everywhere. I'm exhausted. I take my luggage to some hotel, and then I, you know, take a nap, and I sit there and write and write and write and watch tape, go do the show. After the show, I'm exhausted. I fall asleep. That's it. That's all I do. It's just working at the craft. But people really think we're just, you know, I don't know. I don't know what people think. People just probably think we're doing what they're doing. I would assume most people, like, when they're not working, just screwing around, watching TV, walking their dogs, getting drunk, cheating on their spouses, you know? It's a good life. Anyways, and then Norman also asked, no challenges. Everything has been phenomenal. Honestly, the travel has been phenomenal. Usually what you deal with flight delays, all that stuff. Everything's been great so far on the tour. And I'm probably jinxing myself as I'm saying that right now. But everything's been great. Shows have been great. It's been so much fun working on my act, building new material. Now I'm starting to go out and have fans come to see me, which is super amazing. So, but you know, Norman, if you asked me this question a few years ago, I probably would have way more, because when I was just starting out as a opener comic, you know, without any flight status, I could probably give you some like real bad stories. But no, everything is great now, man, because I freaking earned it. And then Norman's got another question. Norman's the best. Norman goes, what is James Camacho like at a party? Oh man, I'll tell you exactly what I'm like at a party. I'll go to any party and I'll be great for about 90 minutes. I'll go in, I'll talk everyone up, I'll be impressive, I'll be charming, I'll be into it, I'll have drinks. And then once 90 minutes hits, all I want to do is go home. That's all the social energy I have. That's the maximum output I got. 90 minutes. Literally, it's crazy. Like, I'll be talking, having a great time. And like, listen, I love good conversation. I love getting to know people. I love just chatting, right? About everything. I love, you know, laughing, obviously, right? But dude, I swear 90 minutes hit, and like I just feel myself every second after that just getting more and more introverted. Like I just start thinking in my head. I just want to kind of, I just start like slowly drifting to a corner. I start checking my phone. How much is an Uber from here now? And about 30 minutes after that, I usually, I bail. So that's how I am. It's just like, I don't know what it is. I just have only I have enough battery for social activity for about 90 minutes, you know. And that always would give me anxiety when I was in my relationships, because, you know, obviously it'd be like, oh, let's go on this whatever date night. Oh, let's go hang out with my friends. And then, like, obviously as like a boyfriend, you feel like you have to be impressive when you meet, you know, your girlfriend's friends. And I just remember, like, after 90 minutes, man, I'd be so lame, you know. And it's always better to end strong. So I would have much rather been like boring for the first 90 and then been awesome after. Because when you leave, you're like this, you know, oh, it's a socialist butterfly. But then when I'm leaving, and the last thing that I did at the party was, you know, stand in a corner and look at my phone. And then my you know, your ex's, your girlfriend's giving you crap on the ride home. But yeah, I'm not that fun, Norm. Yeah. And also, as I get older and I get more into, you know, trying to achieve greatness, trying to achieve my dreams. Oh my God, what's it the word? But the more I try to chase my dreams, achieve greatness, and you know, get the physical. What's the word? There's a word for it. You know, trying to get the body and the fitness, hitting the fitness goals I want. I find myself less and less partying like that. But I did party a couple days ago. Again, the TV. Boy. I wonder why I keep sleeping like that. Is there a setting where it's just like, if it's in, that's probably what happened. You know what? I'm sure one of the cats knocked out the plugs and then it reset everything, and it's probably now in some sleep mode setting. All right, let's plug along here. So, Norm, also just wanted to say, Norm's been writing to me saying he's been going through a tough time. I just want to say, Norm, I appreciate you, and other people appreciate you. So, you know, when you're feeling down, just remember there's people in your life that that appreciate you. Not to use the same word too many times, but whatever you're going through, man, like I said earlier in the podcast, it's like, just envision the time that you're going to look back at this and be like, man, that was a tough time, but I got through it. You'll be able to laugh about it. Like, there's going to be a time in that. You just have to put yourself in that headspace and know the only way you're going to get to that place is to just keep every day, just get to the end of the day, be the best you can, make the right decisions, learn from your past mistakes, and you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right, man. There's grass is greener or something on that side, whatever I'm trying to say. You're going to be all right, Norm. Gabe wrote to me, he wrote a you know, college admission essay. He wrote, what is your writing process when writing for a show you are about to do? Oh, let me put it here. He writes, what is your process when writing for a show you are about to do, or even when you post stuff online? What is your ultimate goal? Oh my God, there's question. Sorry there, Gabe. I should have done a little bit of vetting here. You've like, I thought this was just one big question, but you have like 18 questions you put in here. So let me, okay, let's do this. All right. He's got about four questions in total. Okay. What's your writing process when writing for a show you're about to do, or even when you post stuff online? Okay. So for shows, I have this act right now, like a new 45 minutes to an hour of material. And when I prepare for a show on the road, and then by the road, I mean outside of New York City, it's about 45 minutes to an hour that I have to perform for. So my process is like, I'll just go through the whole set. I'll kind of bullet point all the jokes. And if there's any like new ideas or new additions, I'll kind of write those in as well. And then, you know, as I'm going through making the checklist, I'll maybe sometimes like repeat jokes to myself. Usually what I do is I'll write out all the jokes and bullet points, the new additions. And then after I write everything out, I'll literally just recite it in the hotel room before the show for like an hour. And sometimes as I'm going, I'll have an idea or a new line I kind of just like made up, and then I'll kind of make notes. And that's how I prepare for a show on the road. In the city, the sets are about 10 minutes long. So what I usually will do is I will prepare opening jokes, closing jokes, and then in the middle, I kind of just figure out the newer ideas I want to work on or the things I'm trying to tighten. And I just kind of prepare that. So instead of doing the whole 45 minutes, I just prepare like opener, closer, and then just like one or two new ideas. And that's what I do. So like a set list I write. And then when I post stuff online, yeah, that's usually the thing online is, you know, so a lot of my content is either stand-up clips, which I don't really think of. It's just like, you know, what the content that comes from the shows. Sometimes there's a crowd work moment, and then I'm like, I think that could be funny, and then I'll post that. I don't really try to, I try not to post any of my new material until I put it out on a special, so I'm not really giving away material now. But in terms of like the other content, like the podcast is obviously just like, I do the podcast. I don't think too much about making clips or anything or content. I just try to have fun and yap as much as possible. And then when I look back at it in the editing process, if I go, oh, that's funny, or I thought that was interesting, I'll take clips from that and I'll post them online. And then for like the skits and the selfie videos of my parents, I do sit down and write those. Those are a little easier, though, because those are all pretty much like, oh, okay, so whatever. My mom's Chinese, my dad's Puerto Rican, or about being mixed race. So I just kind of will, like, in that realm of topics, just kind of make a material. And then if I come up with an idea that's funny, I'll go, hey, let's make a video. Or I will, the things that the idea I write, I'll put it in like a joke format. I'll write it out and then I'll tweet it. And then if it does well on Twitter, then I'll make a video of it. But yeah, that's kind of how it is. It's just literally sitting down and thinking like, what's another, you know, thing my parents did growing up that was interesting? What's another half Asian topic? What's another this, that, you know? So yeah, it's just that's it. That's the writing process. Just sitting down, writing what I'm when I think is funny. You know, I don't put too much pressure into like coming up with a joke. I just really try to be truthful, and then a lot of times the funny just comes from the truth. You know, so great question, Gabe. He asked, "What is your goal? What is your ultimate goal in the comedy world? Do you like performing or writing?" I like both, but I like performing a lot. I like writing. But, I mean, there's nothing better than, like, people seeing the stuff you wrote. Like, I don't understand. I never understood this. I don't understand how, for me, I don't understand how people can, like, write screenplays and, you know, then, like, you know, all these actors and these directors take over. They put their name on it. And, like, you know, the screenplay credit, written by credit, it's like the third or fourth credit. In a movie, it's usually, you know, director, producer, right? So you kind of lose your name to it. And so it's like, I don't know. I always felt like there's something really great. That's why stand-up is perfect for me. It's like there's something great about writing something and also being seen living it out, you know? Like, I totally understand why directors that write, direct, and act in movies. Like, I totally, like, and that's a lot more work, and it's very difficult. But I get it, you know? Like, why wouldn't you want to be seen living out your words, you know? So, but if I had to choose, I would definitely like to perform, you know? Like, I have no problem being an actor and doing someone else's lines, you know? But yeah, if I wrote something, like a movie, would I want to be in it? Yeah, I probably would. I mean, every script I've ever written, I pretty much have written myself into, just like a different variation of me. So yeah, my ultimate goal is, man, I don't know if these are low goals, but I just want to be able to tour at will. Like, I don't want to have to be able, I don't want to have to do cruise ships, or I don't want to have to be doing gigs I don't want to do just to get by. I want to be comfortable performing at places I like performing in at will. What I mean by that is like, hey, I got a new hour material I want to tighten. I have a huge fan base. I'm going to call my agent and they're going to book me a tour for all of 2025. Just like that, right? And then I go do the shows and just have a great time. And then whenever I feel like it, all right, was on the road for about 3-4 months. Let's take a break. Let's chill at home for a month, right? And when I rest it up, I'll go back out there. So that's kind of my dream, is like to be a touring comedian. I want to be able to put out comedy specials like every year, like on Netflix or whatever the big platforms are. I just want people to see my work and then enjoy it and then come up with more work, you know? And I also do want to have a good acting career. Like I don't want to be the lead in anything, but I want to definitely be like multiple lines, like co-starring characters in a bunch of shows and stuff. And that's one thing I'm not living out. I mean, obviously it's really hard to get to that point. The comedy thing is like kind of getting there, even though I have to go on the road, but like that, you know, where I'm at, it's like, it's amazing. But yeah, it's my ultimate goal, just being a really, just like an established, respected comedian and an actor. That's really it. I mean, yeah, that's it. Comedian, actor, you know, at the highest level. Like, I don't want to say highest level, because I'm not like a Chappelle, Kevin Hart. I mean, I guess that would be great if I could be like a Chappelle or Kevin Hart or, yeah, one of these, like, Kumail Nanjiani's got a pretty good... I mean, he doesn't do stand-up anymore, but to do all those movies he's doing... Yeah, he's pretty much all into acting now. But, yeah, Bill Burr's got a great career. So many different TV movie appearances. I mean, he's got his own show, and then he just does stand-up whenever he wants, does his podcast. So that's the kind of career I want. Are you going to do any specials soon for Netflix or anything like that? Wow. Oh, shit. Did I miss something here? Okay. I love how highly Gabe thinks of me that I could do a Netflix special. That's very nice, Gabe. I am not even close to that, to be doing Netflix stuff. I don't have a big enough following. I don't think any of my representation could even get me get my nose hair in the door there. Yet, I'm not trying to be pessimistic or downtrodden, but what I will say is that I self-funded, self-produced my own comedy special, and that will be coming out most likely on YouTube very soon. I promised my manager, once it's all finished, edited, and everything, I'd let him go out and shop it. Just to get it out there in front of people's eyes that are, you know, buying content. But I'm probably just going to end up putting it on YouTube because I think I just want the most people to be able to see it. And I think the widest reach would be Netflix and YouTube. So, Gabe, I haven't mentioned the special since I recorded it. I do have a comedy special coming out very soon. Within the next couple of months. So just stay tuned. It's coming out. Not going to be on Netflix. I would 0.00001% chance it could be on Netflix. But I appreciate you thinking so highly of me. All right, guys. That's the questions for this week. Gabe has another one, but Gabe, we're going to have to do it next week because we are almost out of time, and I got to get to our motivational quote for the week. There was a few... there's a few I really, really wanted to share with you guys, but I just want to pick one because more is less. That could be another quote. More is less. Shit, they're all everywhere. You know, I feel like becoming like a motivational quote hack, you know, like I'm just starting to talk to people when we have conversation. I just start throwing in this like, yeah, man, you know, like they say, more is less. But people probably think I'm some freak. All right. So over the three I got here, I'm trying to. Okay, how about this one? Expectation is the root of all heartache. And let me just double check so I am factually correct. I believe William Shakespeare said this one. Yes, Shakespeare. Expectation is the roof. I keep messing up my words. Expectations is the root of all heartache. Expectation is the root of all heartache by William Shakespeare. I love this quote. It's just so true, man. And like, you know, every quote every week, I only bring them to you because they're things I'm kind of going through now. You know, I'm currently in a situation in life where, you know, I'm trying to achieve my goals. I'm dating. And obviously with all that stuff, there's expectations, right? Like if you date someone, are they going to call? Are they going to do this? Are they going to whatever, right? With social media, I'm always like, I have expectations. Like, is this going to, you know, get a lot of views? With comedy, am I going to get booked at that club? Am I going to get any spots there? And it is really true, man. It's like anytime you hope something's going to happen, just based out of hope, right? Even, it can even be something where, like, it's calculated, where you're literally like, I did all the calculations, or I did all I could. I put my hard work in, and like this should happen. When it doesn't happen, man, whew, it hurts, man. And it really hurts. If you think someone is, like, the one, or if you expect someone, like, you just think, like, it could go somewhere, and then you get a call from them one day, like, hey, I just don't think this is going to work out. It's like, you just, like, man. So it's really important to, like, you know, manage your expectations, man. You almost got to go through life, like, and listen, like, that's no life to live where you don't expect anything. You have to expect things from people and situations. And, like, you know, people let you down, and you get that heartache. You just got to use that heartache as, like, a sign of, like, hey, like, all right, I got to get you out of my life. Like, I got to – less of you because I don't want to feel this anymore, you know? But, yeah, and anything, man. Like, I'm kind of getting to a point now with, like, social media. I don't expect anything. I really just try to put content out that I think my fans will like. I don't expect, like, you know, what kind of life is that? If you're expecting, like, this will get a million views every day, and then it doesn't, it's like, you know, that just leads to feelings of hopelessness, which I've talked about in this podcast, leads to depression. Yeah, man. It's the hardest to, you know, expecting something like, from a job where it's like, I expect, whatever, to be treated like this, or I expect to be, get a, you know, you hear that, oh, I expect in a year I'll get a raise, and they don't get it, and people are upset. Well, God damn it, I'm worth more than this. That all is very tough and annoying, and obviously creates heartache. The worst expectations you can expect are from other people, man, you know? Like, you can only expect to be, that you want to be treated fairly, like, you know, a certain way. And it's the worst when you expect that from someone you really like or you really care about, and they don't give that to you. That's the hardest heartache, man. You know, realizing like someone, and this isn't just in terms of relationship. This could also be in terms of, like, family. You expect something from them, like, and then they can't, like, you know, they can't give it to you. You know, you expect a way to be, you want to be treated, and they can't give it to you. That's the worst because. You know, it's a relationship, and then you have to break that up, and that's really hard, man. Shit, I cursed again. I thought I would be a little bit more insightful with this, but it's true. Expectation is the root of all heartache. I mean, you think like, just think about like if you watch, like if you're a fan of a sport team and your team's good. And you expect them to win a team against a team that stinks and they lose. You're just like, what? You're just so much more devastated, right? It upsets you so much more. But if your team that is expected, like if your team goes against the team, like let's say you're the bad team and you're like, there's no way we'll win. No expectations and you win. Like you're just euphoric, you know? So I don't know. We all have to have expectations, right? Are expectations goals? I wouldn't say expectations and goals are the same thing, right? Because expectations are things you know will happen, like you assume will happen. Goals are things you hope will happen, right? That's why you don't want to assume your goals are going to happen because that creates expectations. Oh, there we go. Blackout again. Man, this is really upsetting. I'm really upset that the background keeps going away. I'm really upset about that. Really upset. Oh, man. This, you know what? That's why it's so like. And then, oh man, wow. Okay, there we go. It's amazing what goes into doing a podcast, you know? Sound, backdrop, there's all these little things, lights, producing it, camera, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, so you guys, expectations is it's the root of all heartache. I mean, it to me, it gets off one of those vibes of like a quote, like you should never have expectations. Like it's more of like a cautionary quote, you know? Like just remember, like don't get too excited about anything, you know? If you're seeing someone new, don't just assume this is the person you're gonna spend the rest of your life with. You just gotta, you know, just expect. The only thing you really expect is, I guess, just like that they treat you like a human being, that they don't lie to you, right? Just basic stuff like don't expect like a ring, a marriage, a kid. Like don't expect any of that, especially in the beginning, you know, because you don't really know who people are, right? And I think a more important note is that if you have expectations from someone or something, if there's a situation where you're expecting someone or something to deliver you something and they continuously don't match, reach your expectations, then you just got to get rid of that person or that situation, you know? That is the level of insanity that everyone talks about. Staying in a situation, and that's how you get depressed. If you stay in a situation where your expectations aren't met, you know, that's just going to leave to feelings like things will never work out, hopelessness. And hopelessness is where depression comes from, where you feel like, what's the point? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? What's blah, 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 you know? And that's what we all want to stay away from. So guys, that is this week's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Please like, share, subscribe, everything. Please follow me on Instagram, Kamach Bro, Facebook, follow me on TikTok. And if you like this stuff and you would like more, patreon.com/JamesCamacho. I think we only cursed two or three times this episode, so we're doing well. And I'm going to see all the Patreon members on Friday, and everyone else, I will we'll kick it next Tuesday. Adios.